I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting.
All right, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Now, if you recall, folks, not this week, but I think the last couple weeks in the past, we had been talking about the Holocaust, and John Hanke had been talking about how, you know, Hitler was a puppet, and the banks were behind the Holocaust, and so forth and so on. And I've been getting these emails, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, regarding people were a little bit upset with the information, and I had a couple people that, you know, sent me emails and said, "Well, I think you ought to bring this Mark Weber guy up because he's the head of the Institute for Historical Review regarding the Holocaust. Written several articles on it. Been on 60 Minutes. Been on Hannity and Combs." And so I thought, okay, well, I'll do that. So I gave him a call, and without any further ado, let's bring up Mark Weber. He has agreed to come on today. Mark, you with me?
Yes, I am, Michael. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, you're welcome, buddy. Listen, I was perusing around the internet, you know, looking at, I typed in Mark Weber, and I was looking up all this stuff, and it looks to me like the ADL doesn't like you a lot.
That's for sure. The ADL doesn't like a lot of people these days.
I'm in good company,
but yes, the ADL has had me in their sights for quite a few years. A lot of what the ADL says about people is either wrong or exaggerated, and it's true in my case as well. But yes, in fact, I'm proud to be in the sights of the ADL because I think that if a person is not raising the hackles of the ADL, they're not doing their job. But anyway, that's my view on that.
Well, listen, you know, I've got the Paul Revere of the airwaves, and you may know who he is. He's been running the airwaves for the last, I believe, 7 or 8 years regarding this impending hate crimes legislation that you know, the ADL is behind with a B'nai B'rith, and the Senate just passed this last week, as I'm sure you know. Ted Pike, are you familiar with him?
Yes, I am. I've met him a few times, and I'm glad he's doing the work he's doing.
Ted Pike has been on my show, I would say, probably 5 times in the last 3 months, and I got to give this guy kudos because he's relentless. He's been fighting against the hate crimes legislation for several years, and what's interesting about that hate crimes legislation, what I find interesting about it is they've got it, it's kind of cloaked, if you will, behind the ADL is behind this, the B'nai B'rith, and it's cloaked in this secrecy of, you know, it's to protect homosexuals, yada, 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 which is a crock. But I wanted to read something to you. I ran across this on the net, and I wanted to get your take on this, Mark, because it involves you. And so I'd like to get a response out of this. This is from the ADL, okay? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we're going to do this. We're going to go to a break. I'll give you a few minutes to collect yourself. Once a leading voice in the international movement to deny the Holocaust and vindicate Hitler and the Nazi regime, the Institute for Historical Review has been in decline for several years. It has been unable to convene a major international conference or publish its Holocaust-denying Journal of Historical Review since 2002. Currently, its activities have been limited to hosting minor extremist gatherings, usually featuring a speech by IHR director Mark Weber, and occasionally another Holocaust denier such as David Irving, and operating its website and its email list. Weber is also a supporter of embattled Holocaust denier Ernst Zundel. IHR's most significant recent activity was a conference it conducted together with a neo-Nazi National Alliance in Sacramento, California in April of 2004. What do you think of that?
Well, this is typical of the ADL. You know, in one way, or in many ways, the impact of the IHR is now greater than it ever has been. I say that very advisedly, because the impact is the whole nature of how people reach people has changed because of the internet, and the IHR website has a tremendous impact that it never had at the time that we published the journal and did
right,
other things.
Let me stop you. We got to take a break, and then we got a long segment.
Right.
Mark, be right back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest Mark Weber. Be right back. Stick with us. This is powerful, folks.
Thank you. The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special and very knowledgeable guest, Mark Weber. Mark, as you were saying, we got a long segment, so we got some time to talk here. You were saying that in many ways the Institute for Historical Review is more popular now than it ever was. You want to expound
popular,
on that?
I would say influential. We routinely, okay. And I mean regularly, reach hundreds of thousands of people around the world. I do interviews routinely with broadcasters in different countries and across the United States, reaching far more people that way than ever was the case when the IHR, when in the pre-internet age, and also before I and other IHR speakers did as many interviews as I do now. I mean, one interview on Hannity and Combs or one interview on the BBC reaches far more people than ever used to be the case. More than that, the internet has changed completely the publishing industry. Far more people today, every week, read articles that we post on our website from the journal than ever read them when they appeared in printed form in the journal itself. We are able and routinely reach far more people that way than was ever the case when the journal was published. As you probably know, as anyone in the publishing industry knows, the internet has changed the whole publishing scene because many, many people now naturally and routinely expect to get material to read for free online, and the ability of periodicals to keep up their subscription base with the internet is very, very difficult. Now, I regret that we had to shut down publication of the journal, but it wasn't worth the time and effort
and we couldn't sustain it financially. If we do and when we get money to be able to do that, we'll revive it. But remember, articles now reach far more people. Material reaches far more people through the Internet than was ever the case when people were in the IHR and other groups and other institutions were confined just to hard copy printing.
Well, Mark, let me ask you. I mean, I know you've appeared on Hannity and Combs. You've appeared on 60 Minutes. And, you know, obviously they're pro-Zionist. So, I mean, when you appear on these networks, and forgive me, I haven't seen you, but, you know, do you find them, you know, attacking you? Or are they,
of course.
You know,
that's, of course. But what they do is give us attention. They make they make more people aware of what we're doing. And that's the mm-hmm. important thing. Yeah, we expect, and it comes with the territory, to be attacked by groups like the ADL. That just goes that's part of the job. Anyone who is principled, I think, or is going to be effective, they're going to be attacked by the ADL in this way. But the attacks against us don't consist of just attacks by the ADL. Other Zionist groups, other people like that, attack us routinely. Just the other day, the so-called Southern Poverty Law Center put out an attack against a broadcaster on whose show I've appeared several times, also highlighting our role with that. Now, those are attacks. The long-term and most important thing is, are we reaching new people? Are we reaching other people? And the answer to that is definitely yes. Around the world, there is a growing awareness, a growing acceptance, a growing understanding of the points that we've been making for many years about the distortion of history and current affairs by much of our media, by our establishment, by our politicians. And this awareness is growing, and the IHR plays an important role in that growing awareness.
Well, you know, Mark, it's funny that you brought that up because, as I said, you know, I was perusing around in the Internet because I don't have a life. I do this every day. Ran across this ADL article, and I also ran across a couple of interesting video clips I had downloaded and thought I had saved official documents from the Red Cross regarding the Holocaust, and I lost those. The website that I had them coming from, they erased it. I don't know who did. Maybe the CIA. I don't know. But at any rate, I found it this morning, and according to the Red Cross's supposed official documents of the different prison camps in Germany and, you know, Poland and so forth, the total amount of according to the Red Cross figures, the total amount of Jewish people that were killed in the Holocaust was like 221,000. And in addition to that, I also ran across, and I'd never seen this before, I ran across a video clip of David Cole, and I'm sure you know who he is.
Yes, well, of course, the video that you're talking about is one that we distribute very widely. In fact, we are the largest, by far, the largest distributor, publisher, maker, producer of videos, books, leaflets, articles, so forth, on this issue anywhere in the world, certainly in the United States. And the David Cole video that you talk about is one that we have offered for many years, and we offer now on DVD disc through the IHR. But what,
okay.
to let your listeners know what you're talking about, David Cole is a young Jewish American who some years ago made a visit to Auschwitz. And on the video, he has the tour guide at Auschwitz claiming that a room shown to tourists is a gas chamber in its original state. But then he gets the curator of the Auschwitz State Museum in Poland to acknowledge on film, not for the tourists, but on film, that in fact it's a phony post-war reconstruction. And that's now widely acknowledged, even though people have been fined and punished in Europe, where in some countries any dissident view on this question is a crime, for making that statement, which is now acknowledged almost universally to be true. For making that statement, people have been punished, but it's now mm-hmm. widely acknowledged. There's been a great change over the years in what we call the Holocaust story or the Holocaust narrative, but the public doesn't know that. They don't know that many claims that were once very supposedly proven and recited and so forth have been quietly abandoned over the years, and one of those claims is that the gas chamber or the room shown to tourists at the Auschwitz main camp is in fact a phony post-war reconstruction.
Right. Well, I You elaborated on David Cole before I had a chance to tell you this particular clip. Now I saw that clip that that video that you were talking about with David Cole. But this one I ran across this morning was David Cole met up with Ernst Zundel.
Oh right,
and
that's
did
another
video clip. Now Ernst Zundel, for those of you who don't know, most of my listeners probably know, this man is in prison right now for Holocaust denial.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to, many people may not know, but in Germany, Austria, France, Switzerland, and in Israel, it's a crime to dispute, whitewash, contest the official Holocaust narrative. People can question and dispute all sorts of other things about history, all these other chapters of history. But dissident views on the Holocaust issue are severely punished in a number of European countries. And they put people in prison, they fine them, and several people have been forced into exile, forced to flee their country because of these bizarre laws, which are a violation of the principles of free speech and democracy, which these same countries claim to uphold.
Yeah, and these same groups, Mark, these same groups that got those laws enacted in Canada and Europe and so forth are the ones behind this hate crimes legislation that was just signed by the Senate and is going to go on Bush's desk in the next week or two.
Right. The initiative for these laws in Europe comes from the World Jewish Congress. This is a very important international Jewish Zionist organization, which was also very, very instrumental, played a major role in the blackmail or shakedown of Switzerland some years ago for billions of dollars because of the supposedly bad actions of Swiss banks during and after World War II.
And so, matter of fact, I just had Ted Pike on my show the other day because the Senate had passed this hate crimes bill, and it made me think, if you are out in public and, George Bush signs this bill, if you're out in public and you happen to be sitting in a restaurant and you mention a word, whether it's the N-word or whether you use the word fag, okay, and somebody who happens to be black or happens to be gay or, there's other words that you can use that of other, persuasions, and these people call the police, you could literally be fined and arrested for this. And I thought about this and I thought, wait a minute. My wife is Scottish and she smokes. So when she goes to get a cigarette, she doesn't call it a cigarette. She calls it a fag.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm out in a restaurant, Mark, and my wife says, go get me a pack of fags, and there's some guy over in the corner that looks a little fairy-like, and he hears the word fag, but he doesn't, hear the word that, go buy a pack of cigarettes, then I could, theoretically, I could be arrested for that. And the groups that are behind this draconian legislation is the ADL, B'nai B'rith, AIPAC lobby, all the these people that have got all these horrendous laws passed, which is part of the reason why, or is the main reason why, Ernst Zundel is in prison right now. And so we're looking at this coming to a city near you, folks. Now I wanted to shift gears on this a little bit, Mark, and ask you. And as my listeners know, got a break coming up here shortly, but as my listeners know, I've had a very gentlemanly, very mild-mannered man that's been on my show for the last four or five weeks, okay? And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Holocaust. I mentioned this to you off the air a little bit. And his thesis is that Hitler was a puppet. Hitler had nothing to do with the Jews. Hitler liked Jews. He had nothing against Jews. And it was the banking system that was pulling his strings. And the banksters, the international banksters, if you will, wound up banking $1 trillion off the gold in their teeth and all the money in their bank accounts and so forth. What is your take on that?
Well, to be charitable, it's just groundless. I mean, this is just not true. Hitler was nobody's puppet. I mean, whatever you want to say about Hitler, he definitely was his own man, and he wasn't a puppet either of Jews or of bankers or of anyone else. He was emphatically anti-Jewish throughout his career, and Jewish organizations regard him as an enemy. If he had been a puppet of the bankers or of some other power, he wouldn't have ended up with the fate he did, that is, taking his life in the Berlin bunker as the Soviet forces were storming Berlin.
Okay, we've got to take a break. We'll be back at 3. My guest, Mark Weber, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with us. We've got more.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
We're back. Michael Herzog and the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special and very knowledgeable guest, Mark Weber, regarding the Holocaust. All right, Mark, we were on the subject of Hitler, and he was his own man. And so what the motivation, Mark, from your perspective, behind what Hitler was commanding to be done to the Jews, what specifically was the motivation?
Well, Hitler regarded Jews as a alien and dangerous people. And the policy of the Hitler government, of the Third Reich government, from 1933 to the end of World War II, changed over time. In the first several years, from 1933 to 1938 or 39, the policy was to remove Jews from economic life and political life, from political life in Germany, but not from economic life. Up until 1939, Jews continued to have a very major role in the economy of Germany. Most of the large department stores in Berlin remained in Jewish ownership until 1939. At the same time, the government did a lot to encourage, pressure Jews to emigrate from Germany. And in that policy, the Third Reich government had the cooperation of Zionist groups. The reason for this is because Zionist groups and the Third Reich government both agreed that Jews did not belong in Germany, they belonged in Palestine. And the German government had a very extensive program to encourage Jews to emigrate from Germany and to go to Palestine. That changed in 1939, especially with the outbreak of the war in September 1939. And from 1939 to 1941, the policy was to put the Jews on a reservation or a large settlement area in Poland. And there was a lot of discussion about transplanting and putting Europe's Jews on the island of Madagascar off the coast of Africa, because there was this increasingly strong policy that the Jews in Europe had to leave the continent. Then the policy became even more severe after 1941 and the invasion of the Soviet Union, because millions of Jews came under German control in Poland and in occupied Ukraine, Lithuania, and so forth. And the policy then became even more severe. And as a result of these policies by the German government and by its allies, many Jews, of course, died or were killed during that period. And that's why that in 1945, the many, many thousands of Jewish communities that had existed throughout Poland and Lithuania and Ukraine in 1939 at the beginning of the war were no longer there. And there's no question but that the Jews of Europe suffered a catastrophe during World War II as direct and indirect result of as a result of direct and indirect policies of the National Socialist government. Now, having said that, there's a great deal of exaggeration and hype in what we call the what's called the Holocaust. In fact, the story has grown in many ways, certainly in our society, over the last 15, 20 years. It wasn't until the late 70s and early 80s that American encyclopedias, for example, even had an entry under the term Holocaust, the Holocaust. There was nothing like the number of motion pictures and television shows and so forth about what happened to Europe's Jews during World War II in the years 1940s, 50s, and 60s, and most of the 70s, as there is today. Now it's far more, plays a much bigger role in our society today than it did in those early years. And now so-called Holocaust education is required in schools all across the country. It's now a major part of American textbooks, and the United States government plays a very major role in promoting consciousness or feeling about what happened to Europe's Jews during World War II, to the point that we even have an enormous U.S. official U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, run by a U.S. government agency and paid for by American taxpayers. And, of course, we have obligatory Holocaust memorials and ceremonies and so forth, and hundreds of motion pictures and television specials and so forth. And what's, in fact, what's to me really important is that regardless of the specifics of what happened in World War II, that the Holocaust story plays this huge role in our society for, I think, very obvious social, political motives and purposes.
Yeah, they're exploiting it.
Of course, yes.
For the agenda, I mean, it's for sympathy. It's for what does the United States gives Israel? I think what $3 or more billion per year, and they're using this. They're basically hiding behind it, and they can literally carry out whatever agenda that they want. They can be the tail wagging the dog in any particular situation. They're putting a lot of pressure on the United States right now to attack Iran, and they're claiming that, Ahmadinejad has threatened to make him into a parking lot, which is a lie. I mean, I can't remember the exact quote, but whatever it is that they said that Ahmadinejad said was not true. It was taken out of context. And so they're using us, and they're causing us to spill our blood for their own conquest.
Well, there's two aspects of this, and I agree. There's a great deal about this that I've written about and others have written about that you can find on our website as well. But I think there's no question among knowledgeable people, and this is now pretty widely confirmed, that the crucial factor in the United States' decision to invade Iraq was the pressure from the pro-Israel lobby and from Israel and from friends of Israel, who regarded this as an essential part of helping Israel's interests.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Mark, we got to take a break, and then we're going to come back for a long segment. I'm going to open up the phone lines here, 800-313-9443. Feel free to call in with a question or comment. Should be interesting. We've got more. Stick with us. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715, again, 888-211-1715, or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
We're back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443 if you have a question or comment for my guest Mark Weber. And we're going to go to calls in just a minute. But before we do that, Mark, I want to ask you, the Zionists, the movement there, it seems to me like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but a number of these people that are Zionists, I mean, I've seen pictures of Bill Clinton with a yarmulke on the back of his head, you know, praying at the Wailing Wall. I've seen George Bush do the same thing. Would it be a safe bet to say that a number of these people that are in this Zionist agenda really aren't even Jews?
Well, of course, these are people that are supportive of the Zionist agenda and of Israel and of organized Jewry because it's valuable and useful for them to do so. Without in the reality of American politics is that if a person does not subscribe and sign on to the agenda of organized Jewry, of the pro-Israel lobby in the United States, they're going to be defeated politically. That's the reality, because anyone who stands up consistently for American interests and for the interests of peace and justice in the world against Israel and its policies is going to be denounced, smeared, and marginalized, and their careers are going to be ruined. And this has happened time and time again. And this phenomenon, this policy, has been confirmed by Jimmy Carter, by former Congressman Paul Findlay, by a number of other former high-ranking American officials who attest and have confirmed the intimidating and powerful impact and pressure of the organized Jewish lobby in the United States.
Yeah, yet in the meantime, since 1948, their establishment in Israel has expanded out like a cancer at the expense of the Palestinian people. To the point where I believe that there's, 8,000 or 9,000 Palestinians in prison. They're maimed, they're killed every day, they're bombed, and it's all behind this agenda. I'll tell you what, let's stop. Let's go to a phone call. Let's take Rick in Ohio. Rick, you're on with Michael and Mark. Go ahead.
Gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey, Mark Weber, good to hear you.
Yes, good to hear you. It's good to talk here with you.
Okay, I would like to reiterate and expand upon a little bit what Mark was saying a few moments ago about the presence of the great Hollywood productions from the late 1970s into the 1980s and how this has been magnified so much. I think we have to go back to the United States and the what you might call the populist political risings of the 1930s, which culminated in Franklin Delano Roosevelt initiating the sedition trials in the early 1940s, and the attempt there was to shut these people up. I think it was, 28 of them or so that were tried for sedition. They were held during the war to shut them up, to keep them quiet. The war itself imposed a censorship upon the American people, especially patriotic nationalist circles. Charles Lindbergh, the aviator, for example, he spoke out at many rallies against the war and for true American purposes in the late 1930s, before the war started. Okay, so the war pretty much squelched free speech in America. That had a lingering holdover effect during the 1950s and the 1960s. Once that effect started wearing off, it was just that self-imposed censorship that there were certain things you did not talk about in America. One of them was the Jews. Any involvement of the Jews, anything they were up to, politically, economically, whatever. When the effects of the World War II censorship started seeping in, that's when Spielberg and Hollywood got in on the act big time with multi-million dollar productions, and it was to reintroduce this subject of censorship. You do not talk about Jewish activities. You do not talk about Jewish subversive activities, communist organizations, the civil rights movement being led by Jewish interest. You do not talk about the Zionist bankers behind the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve banks. And now they're using it to try and push all these laws internationally so that people cannot talk about the Jewish activities today, pushing us into one war after another, such as the illegal war against Iraq, the illegal upcoming war they're planning against Iran, and perhaps Pakistan and Myanmar and Syria, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all about censorship.
Okay, let me interject here something. Both of you. Rick, Mark, do you guys know one another?
No, I don't know if we've met in person.
Okay, let me ask you. I mean, would it be a safe bet to say that the majority of the Jewish people are as clueless as the dumbed-down, mind-numbed American public? I'm not saying they're complicit by their ignorance. They're not complicit by their ignorance. But I'm saying that the majority of them are just as dumbed down as the mind-numbed American public, that they really don't realize that they're being played as well.
That's possible. But the thing is, they are coerced through propaganda, indoctrination, into supporting a Jewish cause or this cause or that cause, and they play a role, even though they perhaps may not personally be aware of how it all fits together.
Right, that's why I say they're complicit by their ignorance.
Yes, quite possibly.
So this is so this is twofold. I mean, it's not only that we're looking to try to educate the dumbed down, mind numbed American public, but also a Jewish individual who is ignorant of the facts but yet allows themselves to be played into it, okay, is just as complicit as the Zionist movement, because they don't stand up and say, "Wait a minute, you guys are committing atrocities in our name, just like the American public is having atrocities committed in our name, okay? Just like the Jewish guy David Cole. Now, this man is a Jewish man, Mark, right? I mean, he went over to this prison camp over in Bergen-Belsen or wherever it was, and he filmed and he showed that obviously that the furnace situation, you know, where all of these Jews were supposedly burned and they had Zyklon B gas, it was basically a fallacy. And this guy's Jewish. So he woke up And he's saying, wait a minute, you know, you guys are committing atrocities in my name too, and I'm not going to adhere to that. Now, am I on point here?
Both of you have raised so many questions here that it's not easy to focus on any one aspect of it. But the question is this: to what extent are American Jews part of an organized Jewish community that pushes for policies? That's really the question, I think. And the answer is that although many American Jews, perhaps most American Jews, are very uncomfortable with the what's happening in Israel, that the suppression and oppression of Palestinians, the invasions of other countries, occupation, make many American Jews unhappy, overwhelmingly American Jews are supportive of Israel as a basic principle, as a basic point.
But it's also due to the – and I'm not standing up for it. I'm saying it's also due to the propaganda that they're spoon-fed as well.
Well, it's
right?
all part of the censorship thing. We're not supposed to talk about these things.
Wait a minute. No, I mean
– Go ahead, Mark.
It's not just a question of being flim-flammed or propagandized, because the organizations carrying out these strong measures on behalf of the Jewish community are supported by the Jewish community. The ADL doesn't have money, or the World Jewish Congress or so forth doesn't have money out of nowhere. They have money from Jewish organizations. AIPAC has a very strong base of support from American Jews. They're not paid for by corporations. They're paid for by the organized American Jewish community. And now, there may be some unhappiness by many Jews in the United States with the reality of what Israel does. But overwhelmingly, American Jews are supportive of Israel. And no community in America is as well organized as the American Jewish community. In fact, it's very difficult, I think, for non-Jews in the United States to appreciate just how focused, how well organized the American Jewish community is. And because most Americans have an assumption that the Jewish community in America is much like maybe the Baptist community or some other ethnic or religious community. It's not. It's very, very different. Far better organized, far better focused, and for many in the American Jewish community, they look at these issues in a long historical sense of what's playing the game to do what's necessary to hold on to power, because they have a much more pronounced sense of history than do most Americans. Most Americans don't think of themselves very much as part of a collective group, except vaguely as Americans, or they might be Christians or something, but they're not very fervent in that loyalty. American Jews have a far higher sense of community, of purpose, than do non-Jews in this country.
I agree completely. That's exactly right.
Now, another thing, though, with this regard to censorship, it's not that absolute. It's still possible to say and do a great deal in the United States, but the lack of effectiveness of those who speak of the truth in the United States is not due so much to any kind of censorship as to intimidation, marginalization, smearing, and so forth. That's why programs like this are still on the air. We're still able to operate in this country. The big problem is that most non-Jewish Americans, most Americans, don't use the power and the freedoms that they have. They forfeit their freedoms because they don't use them. There's a growing awareness in the United States, manifest by the support and the, well, for a lot of reasons, there's a growing awareness about the power of organized Jewry, of Jewish Zionist power in the United States over the last several years. It's not absolute, and people are able to speak out. I went to a large meeting in Los Angeles just a few weeks ago, at which two professors, Stephen Walt and John Mearsheimer, promoted their new book on the power of the Israel lobby. And the audience is overwhelmingly sympathetic. This book has been on the Los Angeles Times and New York Times bestseller list. It's been number 12 or 13, whatever, on the Amazon list of best-selling books. And there's no question that there's far greater awareness than there used to be on these issues. I've spoken over the years many times on radio and television about these questions, and people are far more receptive, far more ready to acknowledge the reality and the truth of what we and I am saying today than they were just 5 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Rick, anything else? Got other callers. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say that noontidepress.com is one of the most valuable websites on the Internet. Noontidepress.com.
That's N-O-O-N-T-I-D-E?
Yes, sir. Noontidepress.com.
Noontidepress.com is the distribution and agency of the IHR. The The IHR publishes and distributes on its own, but Noontide Press is the main distribution vehicle for the Institute for Historical Review, and you'll find more directly a library and up-to-date things on the IHR website, ihr.org. But the Noontide Press website is associated with that and accessible from it.
Okay. All right, very good. Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate the information. Appreciate the input, Rick. Let's go to George in Illinois. George, you're on with Michael and Mark. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hello.
Nice to be able to talk to you. I have a question. Mark, have you read the new article in adbusters.org, which is It's Time to Declare Independence from Israel?
No, I haven't. I don't think so.
Mm-mm. It's really a powerful case for that. It really makes a comparison for us to really separate ourselves from Israel, just like we did it.
What is that? Hello? Are we still broadcasting? Mark, are you with me? I'm sorry? Red light. Okay, getting back. I guess we lost Mark. This is a very interesting conversation, folks, and the callers that are calling in have some very interesting questions. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'm the first to admit that I went down the rabbit hole on this a while back, not very deeply, though, and it's a subject I don't like to get into unless I know what I'm talking about, unless I'm educated about it. And, you know, John Stantler and I have even gotten discussions about this, pretty heated at times, about this particular subject. And so I decided to take a little further journey, if you will, after this, after these interviews that I had with John Hankey, to really dig down deep and find out what the situation is going on here. And this is an education for me as well. But I'm learning in my investigatory capacity that the preponderance of the evidence certainly leans far more in favor that the way that these, you know, the figures of the amount of people that died in the Holocaust and some of the events surrounding it aren't as what they are portraying. At any rate, we've got Mark back. Mark, are you with me?
Yes, right. We had a little problem there, but yeah, I'm back on.
Well, I've got a little message here that says George's phone went crazy. So I guess, George, you know, if you still have a point to make, you can call back in. There's some kind of a technical difficulty there. But, you know, I was just mentioning, and I don't know how much of that you caught, Mark, but, you know, this is kind of an education to me because it's a subject that I, like a lot of Americans, I touched lightly on because I really didn't want to go there without, and especially being on the air, without having a good working knowledge of what's going on. And in my investigatory capacity, I'm starting to realize the preponderance of the evidence so far outweighs, you know, substantially the mainstream story of, you know, how they portray the Holocaust and 6 million Jews died. And what's interesting, Mark, is that, you know, they keep expounding on this and they keep exploiting it and they keep getting us to sympathize with them and send them money. Yet, what is the real figure? What is the total figure of people who died in World War II? Is it 35 or 55 million?
Well, on our website is an essay I wrote on this whole 6 million question. And there's no question but that the 6 million figure is an exaggeration. This is conceded pretty widely. But you don't know that. The public doesn't know that. Every educated American has heard over and over, Hitler killed 6 million Jews. The average American, even educated Americans, have no idea how many Poles, Chinese, Americans, British, French, any other nationality died in World War II. They have no idea. But you've heard over and over and over again, 6 million Jews were killed. And we're supposed to be very attentive to that. Because in our society, the implication of our media over and over, the underlying message is Jewish lives count for more than the lives of non-Jews. And we should be very attentive, very concerned whenever Jews are in trouble, more so than any other group, any other nationality. This is just pervasive. It's a default thing in the United States. And it's one of the reasons why the Israel lobby has such potency, such power here, because the American people are conditioned. They're trained practically to think that Israel and Jewish concerns are paramount and we have to be very attentive to them.
So the tentacles of this Zionist movement, agenda, whatever you want to call it, tie an adjective to it, it runs roughshod through our administration. I mean, you know, how
not
many
just our administration, not just this administration. This has been built into the American culture and the American political life for many, many years now. It's reinforced week after week, year after year, by our political leaders. Both leaders of both political parties tell us over and over and over again that the security of Israel absolutely must be guaranteed. In fact, they say Israel's security as a Jewish state has to be defended. We make no similar claims or promises about any other country. We don't say that Belgium has to stay a unitary state. We don't guarantee and make these kinds of extravagant pledges for any other country. In fact, there's this enormous double standard by our political leaders who say that a country based on a specific ethnic religious foundation in Israel's case is right and proper, but it's wrong in every other country. Every other country is supposed to be diverse, multicultural, multi-plural, but not in the state of Israel. And this is a very blatant double standard that the entire world understands.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell you what, Mark, we've got to take a break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Mark Weber. We'll be back for the final segment in 3 minutes. Stick with us.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Segment, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Mark Weber. And we had some technical difficulties. We got George back on the line. George, you got 1 minute. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, George. Yeah,
hi,
George,
Mark.
You got
hi,
1 minute.
I have a quick question. It's really strikes at the heart of the matter, I think. Are you familiar with, there was an article, I believe it was in 1919, right after the First World War, and it discussed the fact that there was an understanding that 6 million Jews were killed after the First World War in theaters of war of the First World War. Do you know about that?
Yes, I understand what you said. We've reprinted a facsimile of that article in our journal.
Really?
And it's pretty widely available on the web. This is in the years right after World War I, Jewish organizations talked about 6 million Jews either were dying or were in danger of getting killed or had been killed. The 6 million figure was already being promoted even in the years right after World War I. And Americans were encouraged to be very sympathetic and to give money and aid to Jewish groups even at that time. But this emphasis by Jewish groups and by politicians who help them has been a feature of American political life for an awful long time.
All right, George, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Time is short, so we got to run. Mark, I want to ask, this has been a great show today. We only got a couple minutes left, and I want to thank you so much for coming on because I'm getting a bit of an education here myself. As a certified in private investigation, which is one of my little, feathers I got in my cap, I go down these rabbit holes and I'll take a look at something, and this is one of those things I haven't explored very deeply. But as I go through this and I look at it and, as I had this other guest on my show talking about, the bankers and they were behind Hitler and blah, 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 it's caused me to take another look at this. And it seems to be that the preponderance of the evidence is so far overwhelming of the propaganda that is fed. And, I'll even go out in the course of my day. I run into people in the course of my business and I'll ask them, we'll get on the subject of the Iraq occupation or the pending Iraq war or whatever. And I find that better than half the time, the person that I'm talking to will say, yes, but we've got to protect Israel, got to protect Israel. And if you take the step further to ask them why, their eyes will glaze over because they really don't know. The only reason that they're even spewing that forth is because they heard it from their favorite television broadcaster, for crying out loud.
Right, right. It's astonishing. People generally believe what they're trained to believe, what they're expected to believe. The Bush administration gave the impression to the American public that there was weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. There was this was not true, or that the Iraq government had some connection with 9/11. In fact, it's not true. But the American public, in public opinion polls, supported this view because that's the view they were fed by much of the media and by the political leadership of the United States. And that's generally true because the American public, more so than in other countries, is largely is not skeptical. Is not as skeptical of what our government says. They're not as independent in their thinking as people in other places. This is a very sorry situation. But also, though, the propaganda with regard to Israel is far more widespread, far more relentless in this country than it is in other countries, and that's part of the reason as well.
Amazing. Well, I'll tell you what. Thank you so much for bringing this up today or coming on the air, Mark. And I would ask you, as I progress through this and I read more about it, you would honor me by having me on my or allowing me to have you on my show again.
I'd be very pleased to, and again, much more about the topics we've touched on today can be found on our website and, of course, other websites, and I want to give a plug for our website, IHR.org, and to thank you again for inviting me to be on your show today.
Thank you again, Mark. I appreciate it. IHR.org, folks, www.IHR.org. Go in there and take a look around. Okay, that's the end of another day. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with my friend John Statmiller. I'm sure he's got a good show. Don't know who his guest is. But at any rate, I will see you tomorrow. Open lines, and we'll take a poll. How many of you want to hear John Hanke again? How many don't? See you tomorrow. Have a good rest of the day. Bye. It's too late to make it right.